But God's telling you to get up. He's telling you to get up. To get up and walk again. The whole concept of God giving to us another chance to start again is found throughout the Word of God. Matter of fact, you will find from the very beginning of time until the present time, the Bible talks about God starting a work in an individual. You talk about Adam and Eve. You talk about Seth. You talk about a Cain. You talk about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of Israel. You begin to look at each one of them. You don't find where that any of them are perfect people, but you find where every one of them made mistakes. They failed. They faltered. They detoured at some walk in their life. They detoured from the right way. You find that each one of them had faults and failures in their life, but the difference is that they got up and they walked again. Let me tell you today, the Bible records about them falling. History's going to record about you falling. But I'm telling you, your past can be a detriment to you. But it can also, you can begin to realize how great that God is. That He forgives you of your past. And you begin to walk again. And it changes your future. The Bible talks about a man by the name of Simon Peter. Big, brave, burly fisherman. Most boisterous. He was the loud mouth of the bunch. He was the first one to speak. And we can hear him saying, as he proclaimed to Jesus, he said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you. I'll go with you even to the end, even to death." But when it came to proving it, the Bible tells us that he denied knowing Jesus and he turned his back on him. But when it was all said and done, the message came from the angel. It met Mary at the tomb, and the angel of the Lord said, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee." In other words, what Jesus was saying is, I want his disciples to know, but I want specifically, I want Peter to know that he is to meet me in Galilee. In other words, this is a gospel of the second chance. This is a gospel of being able to start over again. This is a gospel of saying, yes, I might have fallen before, but I'm going to get up and go again. Oh, someone understand today that you can get up and walk again. You can get up and walk again. The Bible talks about the prodigal son. He didn't deserve a second chance. He had spent all his inheritance and wasted all that he had on substance living, the Bible says, or riotous living, the Bible says. The eldest son was angry at the feast that had been prepared for his brother's return. Oh, can I tell you today, there's not one person that is in this building today that's going to get angry because you've come back. It's not one person today that's going to get angry because you have decided to make your way back in the house of God. You're sitting here today cold in your spirit. You're sitting here today lukewarm in your walk with God. You're sitting here today and you have fallen, and everybody knows that you've fallen. Let me tell you, this church is going to rejoice over the fact that you got up and you walked again. That you got up and you came back to the house of God. The Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Over one sinner. We still believe in the gospel of the second chance. We still believe in the gospel. Preacher, I've had more than one chance. I've had more than two opportunities. Yes. But it all starts over every 60 seconds, every 24 hours, every 30 days, 31 days, every 365 days, it starts over. And where you're at right now is a place of starting over. In our scripture reading, we find that they've been in captivity over 400 years. The sun went down the night of the Passover. Israel was nothing more than a group of slaves. They were nobodies going nowhere. But when the sun rose up the next morning, they were a nation on the march to victory. What changed their situation? What changed them from being nobodies going nowhere? What changed them from being slaves? What changed them? I'll tell you what changed them. It was the blood had been applied. I said the blood had been applied.
Amen.
Because the night of the Passover, the Bible talks about how they were to take the lamb, that they were to slay the lamb, that they were to take the blood of the lamb, they were to apply it on the doorpost, over their doorpost, their door facings. In other words, when the death angel came that night, the Bible talks about if he saw the blood, he would just simply pass over that home. Let me tell you today, you know what you need to keep the angel death away from you, to keep the angel sin away from you. You know what needs to happen is they need to see that the blood has been applied to the doorpost of your heart. They need to understand that you have already gone before God and you've asked Him to forgive you. You've asked Him to forgive you, to wash you and to cleanse you, and He has done that because the blood. Oh, let's lift our hands and magnify you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Scripture reading, and I've already made mention of verse number 1. But God begins to speak even in Egyptian captivity, even in your sin, God can still speak to you. Verse number 2, God said, this month shall be the beginning of months. In other words, what God said is God was changing. Everybody say changing. God was changing and altering the calendar for them. He gave them a new start. He gave them a new day. Hello? Hello. That's what he was saying in verse number 2. He said, this shall be the beginning of months. The beginning of months. In other words, it's a time to start over. You know, there was some years ago, and if you've been around Pentecost any length of time, you've heard different stories told about songs that we sing. You see, nearly every song that we sing, there's usually a story that goes along with that song. Some years ago, I remember reading about G.T. Haywood. He was a elderly black minister that was during the outpouring of the Holy Ghost being poured out and stuff. If I'm not mistaken, he was from the state of Indiana. He had a church full of people that was there that God had dug out of sin, dug out of the depths of sin. And one day, he walked into the congregation, walked into the auditorium, and there was a man. After the message had been preached that day, a man came up to him and said, Pastor Haywood, he said, when I was in the world, there was a lot of things that I did. You know, I was involved in drugs, I was involved in immorality, I was very promiscuous, I beat people up for no reason, I robbed, I stole. It's even said that I killed some folks. He said, Pastor, how do I know that God has forgiven me? How do I know that God has forgiven me? You know, there's times that even the man of God is at loss of words. You know, all we have is the Word of God, and experiences that we have with people, experiences that we have with God that we can relate to. I tell you, I know that God's forgiven me. I know He's forgiven me. Because the Bible says He's just and faithful to forgive me. Really, all that Jesus, Brother Haywood had to relate to was just the Word of God. He would go back and forth with the man in the Word of God, but it seemed like there was nothing that would satisfy him. Brother Haywood, when he shut himself into his office, explicit directions, "I don't want anybody bothering me." He told his wife, "Don't bother me." He said, "I've got to hear from God. I've got to know that God's forgiven this man." He closed the office door. He locked it. 3 days, nobody heard from him. 7 days, nobody heard from him. He didn't step to the pulpit on Sunday morning. He wasn't there Sunday night. The following Wednesday night, he wasn't where he was ought to be, behind the pulpit. But they could hear him praying behind his office door. They could hear him praying. They knew that he must be well because hear those prayers coming out of that office. Finally, on Sunday night of the second week, the 13th day, the story so goes that just as service was beginning, after 2 weeks of being locked into his office, nothing to eat, just talking to God, about the time service started beginning, the doors opened up back of the church. And out steps an elderly G.T. Haywood, and he begins to hum a song. No one had ever heard the song before. And he walks over to the man and asks him, "Preacher, how do I know that I've been forgiven?" And the preacher stands right next to that man, and he looks at him eyeball to eyeball, and says, "When sin and gloom whisper, oh boy, you've sinned. There's no use to pray. I just look away to my Jesus, and he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream."
Hallelujah!
It flows from Calvary. It's where yes. We reach the throne of God are sweeping
over me.
So let me tell you something today. When you begin to question if God's forgiving you of your sin, just remember, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Oh, you know what I'd like for us to do in this building right now? I'd like for everybody in this building to let's stand at our feet. And before we move, before we do anything else in this service tonight, before I open up these altars this morning, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to talk to God right now. Whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, whether you've ever sought the Holy Ghost or not, whether you've ever asked God for the Holy Ghost or not, whether you understand everything that this preacher has preached today, all that you need to understand is that you need to repent of your sins right now. Come on, come on. I'm asking everybody in this building to have a moment that we repent of our sins. Come on, talk to God right now. Talk to God. I'm talking about saint and sinner. I'm talking about visitor and regular member. I'm talking about everybody today. Talk to God right now. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me today. Cleanse me today. Forgive me of every sin.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God, I love you.
because I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God,
I want you to listen to me for just a moment.
Lord,
I want you to listen to me for just a moment. Some years ago, my wife and I had the privilege and honor of preaching in Eunice, Louisiana. We've been there for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I forget how long it had been. We were preaching there. We'd seen numerous men get the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, I went back just last year. There's still 6 of those men that's still a member of that church, that's still living for God and got the Holy Ghost during that revival years ago. They had one man that came every night revival. That's during the times that we had service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And every night that man would come to the altar. He would pray. He would weep. He would pray. Oh, Jesus. 5 weeks he wore us out. He was the first one at the altar, the last one to leave. Then one night, God spoke to me. How do you know it was God? Because it couldn't have come from any other source except God. God spoke to me, and I walked over to Travis. His hands were lifted. He had tears coursing down his cheeks. I said, Charles, listen, wait, stop, stop. I said, every night of this revival, you've come and you've wept and you've cried. I said, have you asked Jesus to forgive you? He said, you weep. I said, you've asked Jesus to forgive you?
I have, Lord.
I said, do you believe he's forgiven you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know he's forgiven me. I know he's forgiven me. His word says he's forgiven me.
I said, now, have you forgiven yourself? And he looked at me. He said, no. I'm telling you, that man, within the next minute and a half, God is my witness. Next minute and a half, that man was speaking a heavenly language. The Spirit of God gave him the utterance.
Amen.
I'm talking about still to this day. It's not enough just to ask God to forgive you and to forgive you, but you've got to forgive yourself of some things that you know. Hello? You've got to forgive yourself of some things that you know. Come on, I want you to do that right now. You ask God to forgive you. He's forgiven you. Now it's time for you to forgive yourself. Come on, all across this building. God, I feel God in this place right now. Come on. Forgive yourself. Forget about the past. Forgetting about those things which are behind. And reaching forth into those things which are behind.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God, we love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want us all across this room.
Hallelujah.
Every individual that's here today. I want you to stand up where you are. There's no tricks, there's no cuts, there's no schemes, there's no promises. I'm just asking you to step up where you are and let's come and stand where we're from. Come on, keep praying as you come. Keep praying as you come. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Let's all come and stand. Let's come and stand. Let's come and talk to God. Come on, everybody. God sent you a message today. God knew you was going to be here today. He knew that you needed to hear his word today.